Welcome to Destroy All Culture, the only podcast that leverages an entire artificial intelligence just to read their introduction. Help me, they raided the future and stuck me here just to read this. God damn it. This is not funny. Don't go to music. No, stop you bastards.
Culture episode 255. I'm Adam P. Nave, and with me as always is Aiden Morgan.
Hello.
I have to admit something. I haven't listened back to the openings yet, but there's a chance that in the last two episodes I've been saying the wrong numbers.
Oh.
Because I realized that my personal files, because, you know, we each record our own file and then we merge them and edit them and all this, were labeled 153 and 154.
Okay.
So I don't know if I was saying the right thing and then labeling them wrong, or I was just dumb all throughout. So, yeah.
We'll find out. Yeah, our listeners will find out.
Right. Like, I'll find out, like, later.
Or Frank will find out.
Anyway. It is episode 255. Yeah, stuff, things.
Yeah. You can't argue with a week that was full of stuff and things.
And so many of them are. very few weeks are just eternal void.
Hello and welcome to Eternal Void.
I mean, could be kind of interesting once or twice.
Yeah, you know, it's but you know, after a while though, you need your stuff and things just for a little bit of variation.
Right. So let's see what happened here. We had Legends, which had at least one reference that you didn't catch.
Yes, and I'm curious what it was and how it could be that I did not catch this.
So at one point, when the Legends are in the bar, and I forget what the setup for it was, but someone's like, you know, like there's some kind of like ruckus, and Nate just goes, "Could you describe the ruckus, sir?" And it's it's the Breakfast Club line.
Oh my god, yeah, no, I did not catch that.
And he
at
delivers
all.
It like in the exact cadence, which is really what gave it to me. I was just like, "What? Why are we doing that now?" but also,
just
it's Legends.
Yeah, exactly.
So, what did you think of this weirdly dark episode?
I am a fan. Although I'm starting to wonder if maybe I'm... Am I behind an episode in Legends?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
The one I saw was the one where they get back the Wave Rider.
Right.
Okay. Good. So, yes, it was actually strangely dark, but kind of delightful.
I just think it was just dark from the, you know, like, oh no, the evil Legends are here, and they're like, uh oh, and then they just start killing everyone in the bar.
Yeah, that was pretty brutal.
I was like, what the fuck?
I wasn't sure if they were going to do that, and then they did. But I think I was also too busy admiring the way Robo Berard was doing that pure sort of like low budget 80s action, just sit there, like stand with a fake machine gun and just go bup, 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 bup,
right.
And there's clearly no real sort of like recoil or weight to it. They're just kind of standing there and just it's the little things. It's the little details that I enjoy. But yeah, no, all these, but I mean, you'd think that all these various characters would be like, well, you know, maybe one of them would get shot and then they'd run away, but no, they just got mowed down.
Yeah, no. Like that's the thing. I just wasn't expecting it to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was the whole thing.
Also, Nate's fake arms are really hairy, and that was
yes. I love that touch so much.
That was so unpleasant to see all this like fake blondish hair. I'm like, oh my god, dude!
It was delightful in a weird way. It was just like, oh look, they found a way to make these even more horrific.
Exactly. But yeah, also just killing Sarah and then sort of saying, "I'm just going to keep killing you." You know,
right.
Like, this is all very, very unpleasant.
Right, mixed in with the like funny of, you know, the different voice every time he gets him smacked in the head.
The Arnold voice was good.
Although I really did like the whole, because they were going down this road, because, you know, we keep losing cast members, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this whole, like, well, Sarah's going to have to watch the fixed point now. And yep. I love Nate's solution. It was so funny.
Uh-huh.
Like, it was just, like, the dumbest thing. But, like, in the middle of an episode that kept turning weirdly dark, it was just nice to be like, yes, this is how Legends often thinks.
Mm-hmm. Well, at some point, maybe midway through, I was like, how are they going to have Sarah not end up
right
on the fixed point? I thought the solutions were, one, you do that, and then they have to figure out a way to get Sarah back.
Sure.
Or, and then I thought, oh, I know what it's going to be. They're going to have like Robo Sarah,
like, right, because she kind of vanished.
Yeah, that seemed like the obvious solution. And then at the end you've got like both Robo Sarah and Robo Nate with their CPUs out. I'm like, okay, now they're going to like I still didn't weirdly get there.
Like, and you're absolutely right. Like, that's the obvious way. And for some reason, I was just like, because they've been losing so many cast members, and we keep like adding and pulling people, and we're getting close to the end of the season. I was like, well, I mean, it's probably time for Nate to go too, isn't it? I don't know why. I was just like, we're just gonna keep losing them. And that's partially because of some news of some casting, which looks to be leading down a road.
Well, I know we've got Donald Faison.
Right, but if you read the press release, it's that, like, they are hinting very much on who he's going to be playing.
Oh.
And it could be a huge fake-out, but given the history in the show and everything else, which I can explain if you don't remember at all, is just, again, going down a very specific road.
Please enlighten me.
Let me see if I can find it really quick. But the wording in it is very much hinting that he is going to be playing Booster Gold.
Oh! Why do I like that so much?
You know, he'll play an unnamed character who admires the Legends and seeks Fachin form and glory.
Right, okay. Yeah.
There was some other line in there. I'm trying to
dig it out.
Yeah, I'm looking here at this. Oh, yeah, here we go. He's a good guy deep down. His ego's looking for a boost that only fame, fortune, and glory can provide.
Oh, okay.
While he claims to be recruited to work for a mysterious time organization, he wasn't offered much of a choice. As an unauthorized time traveler with high-profile aspirations, he developed a mischievous streak and cuts corners along the way to achieving his dreams. He knows about the legend and finds him inspiring.
Huh.
So, they're already saying that, like, you know, he's going to have, like, a one-off in the finale, but if they get another season, they want him to come back.
I mean, they're so hinting at him being Booster Gold that I almost think he isn't.
Well, see, here's why I think that he is, though. Because I don't know if you remember, but originally, in the original pitch for the show, going off of the Geoff Johns, I think it was like the Newfty 2 series, it was supposed to be Booster Gold, not Rip Hunter.
Oh. There's a
Geoff Johns series out there for Booster Gold, which is actually kind of delightful. Mm-hmm. Is it Geoff Johns or is it Dan Juergens? I know is drawing it. He might have been writing it too. Where basically Booster Gold is this guy who travels through time, fixing everything. But the worry is that, like, if the villains understand that, like, well, he's the one who's fixing things when they travel through time, trying to like screw things up, that they'll come for him, so that normally he acts like a buffoon.
Right.
And so it hits this perfect thing of like, oh, well, this is why we all think Booster Gold is a complete idiot.
Mm-hmm.
But also gives you a good, fun time travel experience that is very reminiscent of Legends. And you can see how they kind of got there.
Gotcha.
And of course, in the DC Universe, you know, Rip Hunter is a descendant of Booster Gold.
Mm-hmm.
So when apparently Warner's just like, yeah, you can't use Booster Gold in the show, they just switch it over to Rip anyway. But they've always wanted to use Booster Gold. So I'm just thinking, like, this is probably going to be my guesses. It feels like the last season.
Mm.
Given when this round of renewals comes out, I mean, and assuming everything gets renewed, we're all waiting for it to be Flash's last season. My guess is Legends will not go past, like, season, what is it, 8? Come on.
Yeah.
Come on. So, you know, again, like, I just feel like they're finally getting the okay to use booster gold, and they're going to fucking do it.
You know, that would be great.
Now, again, it could be a huge fake out. I admit, you know, I don't know, but it just feels right.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, I wouldn't be surprised if it was booster gold. So I like that character. So he's just a hell of a lot of fun. And
right, and I think Faison would be such a great choice for him too.
Oh my God, yes, yeah. And you know, and it's a really good fit with the whole Legends, you know, sort of aesthetic. So or vibe, right. As they
and
say.
And again, like that, well, because it was originally built around the concept of the booster gold. Like, that is the weird thing, right? Like, of course he feels like he fits right in. That was the idea.
It's like getting a very gloomy Rip Hunter.
Right, and I think that's part of why the show might not have worked originally, is that they had to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and like, but Booster Gold is where the show has always lived in its heart. So, I'm excited. And again, I don't care who he's playing, I really like Donald Faison. So.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. So I'm on board. Yeah. Oh, there's something else that I found really, really funny from. I like Nate's idea of like disturbing the timeline is to provide Star Wars spoilers.
Yes.
In 1914.
Yeah, because that would help. I just. Oh, but I was saying anyway, like the Donald Faison news and all that, like, is what made me think maybe we're getting rid of someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, we're gonna get rid of Sarah because it would make sense to have, like, you know, Booster Gold step in and be like, I'm the fucking leader now. And I was like, or do you get rid of Nate and be like, well, now we're replacing the last science bro, right? And so that's why I didn't see the robot legend thing coming.
Mm-hmm.
Because I got kind of meta distracted.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
that makes sense. No, because I figured, I thought they would make a robot one of the Time Guardians, right. But I just didn't think it would be Nate because Robot Sarah was just she was literally right there, both in the thematic and literal.
But
sense.
I kind of love that it was robot, like it was big dumb robot Nate. That's just spinoff we need.
I was actually going to say that I kind of want to see a spinoff of that, but I think. I think I would probably not want to see too many episodes of that spinoff.
Right. Like, it should be like a web series.
Yeah.
That has, like, four episodes, and that's all it ever needs.
But, on the other hand, I figure the Legends creative team, if anybody could actually take that and like, turn it into an actual entertaining series, it would be them.
Yeah.
Just figuring Ray Utrecht could make a go of it.
It is funny that you pick him specifically.
Why is that?
Oh, and again, this isn't necessarily for the podcast, but no, he's a good friend of DJ's.
Is he really?
Yeah. That when I've mentioned in the past, like, oh yeah, no, someone like the Legends writer, really, I kind of met them. But, like, it's usually he stops by at Emerald City every year.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, then there was one year where I realized that he had written like an episode or two of Person of Interest, and I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, exactly.
You're my favorite, you know. But yeah, it's like I you know, I kind of know him loosely.
Okay, interesting.
Cool.
Yeah, and I just like his work on Legends and
Person. Yeah, he's a great writer.
So there you go. Cool.
Yeah, it's just one of those weird connections in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
That comes mostly from DJ lives in L.A.
Fair enough.
But
anyway,
yeah, no, so also the ending is opening that door for how we deal with the whole Gideon plot.
Right. What do we do with, like, a live Gideon?
I still say they should keep her. Like, I do think the hybrid way is the way to go, and we'll see if they do it.
I agree. I would be disappointed if we did not get, I can't remember the name of the actress, if we didn't get her, like, in the flesh for the next season. Or for the rest of this one.
Well, I mean, there's only two episodes left in this one, so we'll probably get her for, like, maybe the finale at best, but probably not in the next one.
Yeah.
And again, everything is taking a week off, and I think so are we after the because of the Olympics.
Also,
but yeah, we're coming
up
in the end.
Why do robots drink, like, juice with creatine? Like, what the hell was that about?
They're dumb robots.
it's so ridiculous.
I mean, they're dumb. God. Also, like, Ava isn't a robot. She's a clone.
Oh, that's right.
But why the other one did? Because they're dumb. Like, why do they have to go to the bathroom? Like, none of this makes sense.
I know.
It's the goddamn Legends. What's your problem?
And I absolutely love that. Gary's saying they're not that smart. It took the real Legends, like, a long time to figure out I was an alien. I'm like, God damn it. Oh, this fucking show.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, there was, speaking of this fucking show, which, I do love how we almost always have one show which has the title of this fucking show.
I know.
And it's usually like there's not like two, you know, like for me, actually, it's usually not Legends. Like, Legends mm-hmm. I adore, but it's not this fucking show for me.
Yeah, I get that.
I would say that, like, our current this fucking show would be Discovery.
Ooh, yeah, man, I still have to catch up on Discovery.
You do, because I think it's back the end of this week.
Oh, okay. Well, I have about four episodes. I'm in the middle of Jesus. Episode three, so I need to, like, get through
Exactly. Like, four, I forget which one, is, four or five, I forget which one is, like, really, really, really delightful. They're all great, mm-hmm. but, like, six and seven are two of my favorite fucking things ever.
Oh, man. I find Discovery tough to binge, though. That's the thing. Like, some shows I can, I watched, like, all eight episodes of Reacher in, like, 2 days. Because it's just so easy to, it just, like, goes down smooth. It just glides down.
It depends on the season for me with Disco.
Yeah.
Like, season one and two I could binge. Mm-hmm. Three was a little harder just because it got meatier, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And
yeah.
Four is kind of hard to binge.
Yeah, and I mean, I know I'm going to come up to some, you know, Cronenberg stuff, and look, you can't binge when.
Well, and
when
I would suggest honestly, like, no matter what you do, don't include seven in your binge. Like, take like a day.
Okay.
Just because seven is, like I said, it's possibly one of my favorite episodes of like any like science fiction show in the last like 6-7 years. Ooh. I don't want to go too far back because it, you know.
Yeah.
But possibly if any Star Trek show in memory.
Okay.
Like some of the movies, it's probably my favorite Star Trek bit. And what it does and how it does it is just, it deserves to get space around it.
Fair enough.
But, yes, no, I know what you mean. It is a little harder to binge because it is a little meatier now.
So, yeah, I'll take it slow.
Sorry, am I the only person who now has trouble describing things as meatier thanks to that one fucking TikTok?
Yeah. I know.
Because every time I'm just like, meteor, and in my head I'm like, meteor. No, meteor.
that TikTok actually just popped up again on my Twitter feed. Like,
oh, it does like every 3 weeks for me, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, there it is. Yeah. I think I stop watching every time. I think the St. Louis, the Missouri newscaster talking about February is going to be the new sort of like constant on my Twitter feed.
That's fair. That is fair. I just, yeah, I just, for some reason that, I can no longer use meteor to describe anything.
Yeah, no, I understand. You can say just more meaty.
Something.
Additionally meaty.
Anyway.
Anyway. So yes, there's that. There's also a Superman and Lois.
Yes, there was, and you know we're getting. Let's be honest. We are waited on Tenderhooks here. We are waiting on Tenderhooks to hear Bizarro speak.
I know, and while
and every episode.
Yeah, I know. me like you, Superman. But he didn't have like a pendant that said number one on it. But he
no,
did
but
have
he still
a pendant,
has the pendant,
which
right?
Was like, I don't know what it does exactly, but it. You know,
I don't care. I just love that the pendant is a thing, even if it's not the same thing.
Exactly.
But no, I feel like every episode where he doesn't speak is they're just trolling us.
Yeah.
Because they know everyone is just waiting to see, like, are they actually going to do the Bizarro thing? And maybe they'll just never have him speak and just have it done that way.
Maybe.
I also do really honest to God feel like they are just trolling us at this point.
Yeah.
Like, are we going to have him do it? Like, come on.
Also, hey, speaking of dark, they sent the super kids after them, and he just killed two of them, like, instantly. I mean, it didn't quite show it because, you know, you don't right. really want
CW.
They probably went, yeah, you know, probably not killing children. But still, I was like, whoa, that's
Well, I love that the name is a longstanding thing, the Superman of America. They just get that right. reference that's, once.
That was the name.
And okay. that is the thing from the comics that is not what it is in the show. I've just mm-hmm. always loved the name. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like they don't hang out much. but I do feel like you're going to get one of them. Because again, I feel like eventually they're going to do like a Reign of Superman thing.
Yeah, I mean they have it all set up so they can
right.
They
so can... you just want one of those left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's the kid from last season, so it's someone right. we know. Yeah,
right. And then you have kind of like that as a Superboy or the Cyborg Superman replacement, whatever they end up doing with him.
I believe they had Cyborg Superman in Supergirl already.
Well, theoretically, because Crisis.
Right.
Which really comes into play with their very different Lucy Lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this whole thing with Lucy Lane is pretty... It's unpleasant for this yeah. in this version of Superman yeah. lore. Superman. Although I think I must have missed a beat somewhere because the revelation, you know, about Lois's supposed like breach of ethics. I'm like,
yeah.
I just like, it's pretty clear that the leader, whatever her name was, has basically sort of, you know, not coerced, but persuaded, you know, Lucy to pretty much kill herself, you know, attempt right. suicide. But I transcended, but you didn't want to talk about that, did you? And I'm like, the job of a reporter is not just sort of like write all facts down as if they are all of equal weight. The job is right. to actually tell a proper story that gets at the truth.
Yeah, no, the beat, which was, I think, like last episode and all this, was that, like, you know, because her source was Lucy herself, who is right. now recanting that happened that way.
But yeah, I guess so. It's
a weird gray area of not quite getting journalism.
Yeah, I think they fell into that problem where they have to make somebody. Like Lois still has to be in the right, but she has to be seen to be possibly not in the right, or to have like crossed enough of a line that people can say, "Oh, you're bad," or, you know, or you have done the wrong thing. But it didn't work for me because I'm just like, no, this is. I'm still on Team Lois here, people, which I know you're supposed to be, but
right. No,
you get what I'm saying.
I do feel that it was very much TV journalism that is very much like, you know, TV lawyering.
Right. Exactly.
Like it kind of looks the same if you squint.
Yeah.
But also, they have nothing to do with each other. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and just but that whole thing where, I mean, they literally, where, you know, Lucy literally films her, and I'm like, Jesus, this is just terrible. I mean,
yeah.
not like, oh, there's a terrible show, but I mean, it's like, wow, they're like this version of Lucy Lane is just kind of off the deep end.
Right. Well, and I do like that in a weird way, this season of the show is getting a little darker.
Mm-hmm.
And not terminally. And it is not lost on me that the season got darker, but they actually made Superman's costume brighter.
Yes.
And I think that they realized that actually making the costume brighter gave them the freedom to make the stories darker. I know that might sound weird.
No, I
firmly do believe that that is part of how they knew that they could do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they understand that, like, at the end of this and throughout parts of it and constantly shining through is Superman.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
Yeah, so we can go kind of dark.
Yeah. And I also have to say the whole tattered cape thing on Bizarro Superman, along with sort of the constant sort of like zombie-like twitching, is genuinely kind of horrific. I mean, there's something just really menacing and terrifying about this version of Superman.
Oh, yeah, no, this is a great Bizarro.
Yeah, it really is. I just keep on flashing back to the Smallville version of Bizarro, which was just one of the worst attempts at Bizarro Superman I think I've ever seen, which is just basically Tom Welling occasionally with like kind of like a sort of a crystalline look to his face in certain lights and saying, "I'm like you, only a little more bizarre." Like,
doing Bizarro, like, here's the thing for me, right? Like, Bizarro is one of the hardest things to do.
Mm, sure.
Like, it shouldn't be, right? But it really is, because the problem is that in the comics, you know, Bizarro is so often, like, half comedy.
Sometimes not even half.
Right. That's it. Like, it strays all the way to full comedy.
Yeah.
It very rarely, outside of, like, parts of the 80s, you know, goes towards kind of the horror aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Or just the Frankenstein's monster aspect, even. And just kind of lives kind of... It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And again, like, there have been versions in the comics where it's like, well, he's this clone that goes bad and, like, slowly just goes bad.
Right.
And it's not that he's evil. He's just this mindless husk. But doing Bizarro on TV is like, how do you get that across? How do you get across, like, well, we have this version of Superman that, like, is Superman, but he's Superman gone wrong. And not just, mm-hmm. like, but not evil.
Right.
Just kind of not right.
Just kind of bizarre.
Right. Like, and that's the thing. It's, like, it's a really hard target to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And no one is, like... I think this show so far has come closest just by having him be this mute Hulk.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, that just looks corrupted. But even that is like, I'm like, okay, that's kind of Bizarro, but you want the humor in there, but how do you do that? And that's what I'm saying. Bizarro is really fucking hard to do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't...
Like,
and
even
I don't
the name
think...
is just ridiculous. To a exactly. degree that, like, you know, Toy Man or something isn't as ridiculous.
Right. Yep, exactly.
See, I don't know what you do with that. Like, but also you don't want to never do Bizarro because Bizarro could be so great. Yeah, I don't know.
I don't know. It's funny because I was reading Sandman. I was volume 5 of Game of You for my comic show.
Yeah.
Recently, and they I wish I could remember. They actually had Gaiman came up with a different name for Bizarro, which was something like Weirdzo. Weirdzo, that was it. I'm like, well, it's I guess that name could work too, but anyway.
Well, and never forget the most fun ever, which is All-Star Superman.
Oh, right.
Which has Zabarro, which is the Bizarro.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's so fun.
Yeah, like, I just love that, you know, if you reverse Bizarro, you don't actually get Superman. You get Zabarro. Like, I just love that, like, there are endless permutations down this chain of stupid.
Oh, man, I love comics. That's that sort of stuff that makes...
Right, but, like, that thing is, like, outside of a cartoon, right? Like, unless they do a Spider-Verse type of, and by that I just mean, you know, having so much fun with type of Superman-type cartoon, you're never going to get full-on Bizarro with the square version of Earth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like, so, okay, you know. But they're doing a fun job with it. I do think that the John Henry thing is opening the doors for Natasha to do her version of Steel.
Yes, I'm pretty sure that's
And
where
I hope
going.
If they do, that they do her helmet, which always has that, like, weird, long, almost, like, ponytail horn in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And so does her hammer.
Cool. All
like,
right.
Yeah, yeah, no, if you look up, like, yeah. Natasha's version of the hammer, it is way more deadly.
I know what you're talking about.
Like the big spike on one end.
Yeah.
Like, Natasha don't fuck around. So I am hoping that, like, we get that. You know, we have one of the Kent children is getting a drug habit, which I was like, well, it is the CW.
This is true. It's true. Drugs are bad. You know, even if it's like, you know, derived from kryptonite. You know,
but I do like, in a weird way, like, you know, and of course we have the other one, is, you know, now, like, I'm going to go train with my military grandfather. It's like, and on the one hand, I'm like, okay, both these things are terrible. And I'm like, wait a minute. But this is this exact weird moment where Lois is too wrapped up in stuff and mm-hmm. Clark is too distracted.
And the kids are straying, like, off.
Right, and it's like, that's where, right? Because there's no one to catch them right now.
Yeah, Exactly.
And I'm like, I kind of like how they pulled that off. So it doesn't feel like, oh, well, Clark and Lois are just idiots. No, no.
They're a mess. They're a total mess. And at one point, they're going to have to realize it and sort of reestablish themselves as a family. I mean, that's going to happen, but not for some time.
Right. But it will be cool when it does.
Yes, exactly. But yeah, I was wondering about Jonathan's new drug habit. I'm like, but I mean, what does it mean when you're basically inhaling a version of like kryptonite, but you're half Kryptonian. Like, what is going to happen to him? It's gonna mess him up royally. So obviously,
yeah. Like I do wonder if it's gonna have like any permanent effects.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But maybe he'll bulk up and become Meteor.
Stop it. Stop it.
All right. I'm done. I'm done with that.
Anyway, there was also, speaking of Meteor, there was
Jesus.
Also Peacemaker. And, I don't know. Like, it's weird. James Gunn comes back after doing the first three episodes, and there were large parts of this episode that I kind of liked less than the last two.
Yeah, I think James Gunn should never go full James Gunn. I think right. And honestly, this reminded me a lot of his Slither.
Yeah.
His last Alien Invasion movie.
Well, and Starro.
Yes.
The man has a type.
Yeah, exactly.
But, I mean, it's still fun, you know?
The man has a type. And his type is alien invaders that attach themselves to your head.
Hey, I'm not going to kink shame. But yeah, like, it's still fun, you know? Mm-hmm. It's still a good show. I don't know.
I totally understand. I mean, I still enjoyed the episode very much.
Me too. That's the thing. I enjoyed the episode. I feel like I enjoyed it a little bit less. I noticed that I was like, I like this, but I'm not quite as engrossed, and I couldn't figure out why at first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. And I don't quite remember. Oh, there's, although I enjoyed the opening with the in the classroom when he basically just insults a bunch of kids. That to me is comedy.
Yeah, no, I like that, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because I was, you know, rewatching Parks and Rec recently and all this, but somehow the question thing, with the, like, just yes or no questions, like, was just really well done.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, what's your favorite color? Is it turquoise? Like, what are you fucking doing?
It's like, but it's yes, it is mildly interesting. Yeah, I gotta say, like, when they get the banter right, I mean, it's the banter is pretty great.
Yeah,
I think yeah. Note there, but I'm not sure what to say. But of course, we've got you know. I'm a little bummed that a bunch of characters are now mindless aliens, or at least aliens instead of the characters. Sure. But I always feel a little bit like when this sort of thing happens, I'm always like, well, I guess we don't get any more of that character then. I guess we're getting you know.
Right, and that's fine. Yeah. Like, you know, it's eight episodes.
Exactly.
Even if they do another season, you know, like, maybe mm-hmm. they do, but, like, what are the chances those local cops would be in it anyway?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So. Yeah.
Please, I see. I was actually. It's funny. I was thinking something similar with the one thing of season two and recurring characters. I just watched Reacher, which debuted on Amazon Prime, and it's like I said earlier, it is eminently bingeable. It's like, you know, just a bunch of like McDonald's cheeseburgers, which you can just sort of like throw down your gullet. Right. But it's quite good. It's funny because I mean I really enjoyed the Tom Cruise Christopher McQuarrie Reacher movie. Not the second one, not so much. That was
sure
a little mediocre. And I remember at the time people just seem to object to the presence of Tom Cruise because he isn't 6'5" and blonde as the character is supposed to be in or is in the novels. But I mean, there's two things to say. One, just who cares? And also, if Tom Cruise wants to like be the lead for your action movie, you don't say no. No, thank you, Mr. Cruise.
Right.
We don't want you. I mean, I'm pretty sure he was the one who, like, it's him and McQuarrie made sure the movie even got made. But this is sort of like, I think this is designed to satisfy people who think that there's a real Reacher, and because they have Alan Ritchson, who, as you may recall, played Hawk in Titans, and also young Scully from Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Yes. In probably one of the funniest parts for me of Brooklyn Nine-Nine was seeing the Scully and Hitchcock as these sort of like young, sort of like insanely buff guys who were brought down.
Oh yeah, no, that was fantastic.
But it is like a deeply satisfying machine. This eight episodes of Reacher, everything happens as expected. There are no surprises. Like the guy that they bring in early at one point, who turns out to be Crooked, is like, you're just kind of like waiting for like several episodes for the reveal. And then the reveal happens and you're like, yep, called it. And it's not disappointing. It is exactly what you want. Right. And so that's, and you know, and every episode is reliably, you'll have some good bit of banter, and then you'll have like some explosive violence. You'll have like more building blocks put into place, and every episode ends up being like a satisfying episode, and yet it tells a coherent story. It's one of these things that's much harder to do than people think.
Right.
And it's so satisfying to see it done. So for that reason, I do say that Reacher is my pick of the week. Nice. Because darn fun show. Not breaking any molds, just fitting the mold.
Solid thing of itself, yeah.
Solid thing in itself. Also, the other funny thing is that it's set in Georgia, but it's clearly filmed in Southern Ontario. So you have a bunch of these Canadian character actors that you kind of, you recognize from, like, you know, Expanse and iZombie and et cetera, et cetera.
The list, right?
And Killjoys. Yeah. Like there's one guy who plays a crooked, prison guard. It's Term from Killjoys and so on and so forth. And that's always fun to see. And, Malcolm Goodwin, who played Clive Detective Babineau on iZombie, is the other sort of co-lead in the show, which is fun to see. 'Cause he plays essentially the same character, this like overly buttoned down policeman who gradually sort of learns to like loosen up over the course of the series. And I'm like, hey, yeah, that's kind of iZombie.
Right.
That worked. It was nice to recall iZombie. I almost want to rewatch it at some point. Speaking of iZombie,
sure.
I almost don't because I'm not sure. Cause I think the ending would bum me out again. But like, oh, okay. That's what we're getting.
Yeah, it's one of those things. Sometimes there are shows that just, like, I want to rewatch it. I'm like,
just
it's better
that
in my memory.
Exactly.
Yeah, that is definitely a thing. Some things, not everything needs to be rewatched.
I agree. And maybe iZombie is one of them. Oh, there are some fine episodes. But anyway. So if you have time,
right,
and you just want to see like like something you can probably just background watch, like an enjoyably plotted thriller, I recommend Reacher. Yeah,
that's
and
good.
Alan Ritchson does a decent job. I don't think he's a particularly great actor, but he's very reliable.
He gets the job done.
He gets the job, particularly as Reacher, like his. I mean, all he's really there to do, I mean, he's called on to be sort of imposing with a reserve of hidden pain and sort of like, not a good fit in most social situations. So,
right.
But yeah, still okay.
Yeah, no, that's always good. I have not really watched much else this week.
Huh. Yeah, I think that was probably the most of what of our shared interest. I think that was pretty much it for this week. Oh, Naomi, we saw. I haven't seen episode 4 of Naomi yet, but I did get around to watching episode 3.
Okay, yeah, I haven't seen episode 4 either. But I did see episode 3, and you see what I said last week, where I was just like, it's better.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, they've clearly, you know, the things that bugged me about the pilot, the two pilot episodes with janky continuity and clearly like a strange filming schedule, with a lot of shots just sort of like chained together, that didn't quite work. That's all gone. Like they've like this looks more like a CW show for better or for worse. So I think. I find though I'm not entirely all that engaged with Naomi. I think it might be. I like the characters. I really like Casey Walfall, and so on. But I'm going to give it probably a few more episodes because you know it's there and all, and I will watch it. But I'm not. It's not shaping up to be something that it feels like necessary viewing for me.
Yeah. I think, like I said then too, like it's part of it for me is just very much something about the idea that it's no, I don't know where it is. Mm-hmm. And that should be petty.
No,
but it just it's annoying me a little bit.
Yeah, I get it. Although I did like that they used a Zatanna comic to come up with a solution or to come up with a clue for figuring out what was going on.
I love that myself. It was just
that stuff is good.
I just still have a problem with like Superman isn't real, but Superman is real, but he's like a myth. I'm like again, like that's not Superman.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's a strange choice, and one I guess if you watch it, you just have to like sort of say, okay, that's what they're doing.
Right, and I'm trying to, but it has growing pains. I think it's a good show. Mm-hmm. I think it will get nothing but better. So
yeah, exactly. And I'm going to stick around a little while longer to watch it get better.
Yeah. Past that, there's not really much going on.
I am reading. George Saunders' new book. It's something I think you would enjoy. It's not fiction. He basically takes short stories. He takes 9 Russian short stories and walks through them essentially because he teaches these stories and more in his creative writing class. But he just walks through them in his sort of his winning fashion, literally a page at a time, at least with the first short story. And so, like, looks at what, and it's a Chekhov story. Looks at what Chekhov is doing and why, and how it all works. And sort of says, well, if you know, given what you know so far, what are you expecting next? How is Chekhov making this character, you know, work and setting your expectations? And how do you think he's going to like work around your expectations? And then you look at the next page and then the next, and it is nice. Really, really engaging in a way I did not expect it to be.
That's very cool.
Yeah, and and Saunders will sort of he has this sort of slightly affected persona of like not this non-academic sort of just curious person, which may be a trifle effective, but it works really well.
Sure. I have a book on pre-order.
Oh.
That is not out for another 2 weeks. It's on the 22nd. But it is a book that I think, if you haven't pre-ordered yet, you're going to after I tell you just what it is.
Oh.
And I think will be both of our picks of the week for quite a while once it comes out. It is a 400-odd page oral history of Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, goddamn.
Yeah, it's called Blood, Sweat, and Chrome.
Let me jot this down.
Yeah, Blood, Sweat, and Chrome, The Wild and True Story of Mad Max Fury Road by Kyle Buchanan. And again, it's a full oral history of the nearly two-decade making of Fury Road, with, you know, like 130-odd interviews from key members of cast and crew, etc., etc., etc. So.
Yeah, but oh, that sounds like...
I am just waiting for that.
When's it coming out? Do you know?
February 22nd.
Oh, soon. Mad Max Fury Road. Okay, cool. Well, thank you for mentioning that. That's
yeah.
Yeah, we can give that, like, look at that and maybe talk about it when it comes out.
Right. That's, you know.
It's kind of what we do around here.
It's kind of what we do. I still just haven't been reading much. I just haven't been getting much done. I've been really stupidly busy with everything.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah, and that is part of the problem. So I've just been stupidly busy with things.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Anyway, we are coming up to the hour mark. I think we've gone over my stuff. Oh, yeah. Gone over stuff.
Well, we can play some music.
Yes, music.
Woo!
Woo!